Good morning. Glad to be able to be out here and be able to present a lesson from God's Word to you all this morning. Even though Brother Danny's not here, I just want to express my appreciation for him reaching out to me and giving me the opportunity to be able to be here this morning. And if you haven't already met me, my name's Luke. And today I want to talk about how faith is the victory in our lives as Christians. Faith is the victory in overcoming sins and overcoming the world. And I just want to encourage you to open your Bibles, and if you have any questions, you can come to me afterwards and ask me them, and I'll try my best to answer them. And in John's first epistle, he writes of victory in overcoming the world. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 4 through 5, it says this: "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" The world in which John is talking about in these verses are those things in the world that separate us from God. Just a few chapters back, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, it says this: "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." These things mentioned in these verses, things such as the lust of the flesh or immorality, sinful desires, the lust of the eyes is things such as materialism, greed, covetousness, jealousy, and the pride of life are things like boasting, arrogance, and pride, which these things are so common in our world today. They're things that I see in my peers and people around me, all sorts of people in this world. In verse 17, it said, "The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." There are things other than the things mentioned in these verses. There's things in the world that can hinder our relationship with God. These are things that aren't necessarily sin, but they're emotional states of the mind. Things like anxiety, boredom, depression, despair, self-pity, discontentment, fear, grief, and loneliness. All of these emotional states of the mind, when they aren't caused by some organic or chemical condition in the brain, they're often the result of sin. Maybe not sinful action, but sinful thinking or a sinful mindset. All these words, all these attributes, they're very scary and they're very overwhelming. And they can lead us into a lonely, godless life. But if we have faith in Jesus, it can carry us through these things. All of these things that I mentioned that can hinder our relationship with God, they need to be overcome. And we can have victory in overcoming the world and overcoming these sins, all these things in it, through belief, through faith, and obedience in Jesus. We know that he is the Son of God, and we can have victory through him. And this morning, I'd like to examine how faith in Jesus enables one to overcome the world. And with this lesson, we're going to define faith, and especially faith in Jesus as the Son of God. We're going to consider how faith in Jesus can help provide victory over the things, such as I just mentioned, that hinder our relationship. Victory in overcoming the world, it requires faith in Jesus. It's important then to know exactly what faith is. I just want to talk about the word faith in general. So just the way we use it modern day now, defined in a dictionary, is the general persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. Just to kind of put this in my own words, I guess it's knowing that something is true. You're not going to be persuaded against believing that it's true. In your mind, you're sure that something is true and accurate. You believe it, you trust it, you have faith in it. And in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We're certain of these things. Even though we can't see them, we have faith and we have trust that they're true. Just some examples that came to my mind when I was preparing this lesson. I kept thinking how, as children, we believe the things that our parents tell us are true. And we have no way, at a young age, we have no way of accurately knowing that the things they tell us are true or not. But based upon our trust for our parents, based upon that conviction in them, we believe the reliability of their word. We believe that our parents are telling us everything that they say is true, it's accurate. And this trust causes us to respond and act accordingly. Like I said, with a little kid growing up, think about what people tell little kids. They tell them about Santa Claus. They tell them about the Easter Bunny. They tell them these things that they try to make children believe. And children are so innocent, they're gullible, they're trusting. And this is a beautiful thing if it's not taken advantage of. But sometimes it's used poorly, and kids get deceived, and they get lied to. They get led away from God. And that's why the Bible has such harsh words about people who lead children away. We as Christians have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. We have a strong conviction and a strong trust in Jesus. We know who He is. We know that He's the Savior who He claimed to be. We know that truly He is the Son of the living God. We know that Jesus died for us. He died on the cross for our sins. We know that His death truly is a sufficient and pure sacrifice for our sins. We also know that we as humans who sin and we make mistakes, we know we don't deserve that sacrifice. We haven't ever done anything that's been deserving of something like this. We also have faith in all the words that Jesus said. We know that He alone provides the way to eternal life. Jesus is the only way to salvation. He alone is also the only way to God the Father. We can read that in John 14, verses 6 and 7. John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. It says this, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him.'" People today, they may call themselves Christians. You may call yourself a Christian, but are you truly? Have you confessed your faith and been baptized? Are you living the way you should as a Christian? Or instead, are you just living an unrepentant life of sin? In the Bible, Peter is an example to us as Christians today. We see where Peter confessed his faith in Jesus in John chapter 6, just a few chapters back, chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" In these verses, Peter confessed his faith in Jesus. We see that Jesus alone, He has the words of eternal life. He's Christ, He's the Son of God. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. We read, "He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Just like Peter, when a person has faith like this in Jesus, they're going to look to Him for the solution to any problem they may have, any problem that comes up in their life, any struggles, any hardship. They're going to look to Jesus. They're going to put their burdens on Jesus. They have trust and conviction that whatever he says, whatever solution he gives, it's the right answer. They're not going to question it and try to come up with something else, something other. Because we know that the right answer isn't always the easy one. The Bible's pretty clear about every issue that there may be. The Bible's very clear on it. And it's not always easy. What we read and what we find out may not always be easy. Maybe you have a family member who is doing something they shouldn't. They're living a life of sin. Or maybe they've fallen away. The Bible's pretty clear on how we need to handle that. But it's not an easy answer. You know, it's not what we as humans with emotions may want to do. But the Bible is always clear about whatever we need to do. And when you have faith, you have trust and conviction that this is the right solution, that is the right answer. You're always willing to act with trust and faith in His Word. In Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 46. It says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." When a person has active faith, they have active trust and conviction in Jesus, their lives are built on a solid foundation. Just like the verses we just read, they're like a wise man who built their house on a rock. They built their faith on a rock, on a solid foundation, on Jesus. He is that solid foundation that we need to build our trust and our hope on. Because through Him, we're able to weather the storms of life because our faith in Jesus has prompted us to prepare for whatever comes our way. This is the kind of faith that I'm trying to express this morning. It's faith that overcomes the world. Because the problem is, that I see so clearly today, is that while many, they have faith to come here, this morning, they have faith to sit in a pew and listen and hear the word. Most don't have the faith to do or obey what the Bible says, what Jesus commands, what God commands. Are you saved and have you been baptized? Do you live a life that's obedient to Jesus? Or instead, do you just show up to church on Sundays, maybe the occasional Wednesday, and you listen to what the preacher says, you sit in the pew, you sing along? Faith requires actions. The one who trusts in Jesus, the one who lives his life for Jesus, he's wise. He's built a solid foundation. When you trust and when you live for yourself, you're foolish. Your foundation isn't going to stand. It's on the sand. You tossed at sea. You're going to be wayward forever. We need to desire to have faith in Jesus, kind of like Peter did. Like in this passage that we just read, we need to have faith that's built on the rock, on a solid foundation. Maybe if you don't have that kind of faith this morning, you may be sitting here asking yourself, well, how's that developed? How can I build that faith, that strong faith in the Bible that we're talking about this morning? Well, it's not as difficult, it's not as complicated as you may think, or as some in the world try to tell you. Faith comes from evidence. And many people believe that faith is something that's just completely blind. People will try to tell you, oh, you've just got to believe. And it is true that faith, it's often a strong conviction in things unseen. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 this morning. But there's solid reasons and there's solid answers for believing in what we can't see. For example, we know that gravity exists, even though we can't see gravity, we can't physically reach out and touch it. We believe in the wind, even though we can't see the wind, we can't reach out and touch the wind. But we see the evidences of it. The wind, we see the trees move, we see grass rustle. All these evidences, they clearly support and they clearly prove the source. Other people in the world, they believe that faith is some gift from God that's only given to a select few. And this is false. In one sense, it's true that faith is a gift from God. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this: For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's true that faith is a gift from God, but it's available to all, not just a select few. Jesus died on the cross so that everybody can be saved, not just Jews or not just one select group of people, but everybody. Everybody who believes in Jesus. God clearly desires for all men to be saved, and that's something that we can read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. God desires for the word to be proclaimed to all nations. He desires that all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. In Romans chapter 16, we see where that's commanded, that the word be proclaimed to all nations. In verse 25 and 26 of Romans chapter 16, it says this: Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for the obedience to the faith. We're commanded to go out into all the world and to preach the word of God, so that everybody can hear and learn to grow and build that faith that we're talking about. Faith also comes from evidence provided by God himself. He provided signs and wonders in the Old Testament so that people might believe in his Son. And the apostles recorded these signs so that way we may believe and we may be able to read and trust and build on that faith. John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. We need to believe in Jesus as Christ, the Son of God. Jesus did many more miracles and many other things that aren't written in the Bible, but the stuff that we have, it's enough for us to read and believe and have faith in Jesus. Through this faith, we have life and we have victory over the world, over that sin. This brings up the question, what is the primary source of our faith for us today? Well, we've been reading out of it. Today, faith comes from the Word of God, from the Bible. Just as Paul declared in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It reads, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We know faith is founded upon what the word of God reveals. The word of God produces faith in Jesus by the evidence it provides us. Through all the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, through his signs and through his wonders recorded in the Gospels, through the testimony of eyewitness and Acts and the epistles. When we read and when we meditate upon the word of God, faith is developed. Faith in Jesus that leads to victory, it must come from the word of God. I believe the reason many people today don't live victorious lives is a lack of faith. They have weak faith because they don't read and they don't study the word of God. Not only is their faith weak, but they often don't even know the teachings of Jesus in the Bible that can help them overcome the world. They don't know what Jesus talked about and what he even taught in the Bible, but they call themselves Christians and they say that they believe in Jesus. Faith in Jesus gives one victory in overcoming the world, whether it's overcoming sin, which separates us from God, or overcoming that sinful thinking and those sinful emotions that I talked about at the start of this lesson that hinder our relationship with him. I can't overemphasize the importance of feeding upon God's word daily, because we're not going to have that faith unless we know, unless we read and we study our Bible. Because a lack of knowledge concerning God's word is what was Israel's downfall. Because when people don't have access to God's word, they're weak. Think about when Jesus was tempted, when Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, what did he do? Well, he quoted scripture. That's an example for us. Whenever we're wanting to sin, whenever we're being tempted, we can quote scripture, and that can help carry us through that faith. It can help provide power over sin. Why deprive yourself of the means that God has given to produce saving faith? In James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 21, verse 21. "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Faith in Jesus overcomes sin. He provides us the forgiveness of sin. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, we read of remission of sins to those who believe in Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, we see the example of redemption made possible through the shedding of Jesus' blood. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 through 10, Jesus became our propitiation or our sacrifice for our sins. And through his blood, we're justified or we're saved from our sins. And such forgiveness is only promised to those whose faith in Jesus moves them to repentance and baptism. We can see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repentance is a change of mind, but not only mind, a change of action. We need to turn from our sin and serve God. Baptism is the burial of our sin through baptism when we walk in newness of life. Repentance requires action. As Christians, our forgiveness continues as we repent and as we confess our sins in prayer. We can see that in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. It says, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Faith in Jesus provides power over our sins. Paul speaks of freedom from sin in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Through Jesus, that old body of sin that I've been talking about, our old life, it's put away, and we have a new life. We're no longer a slave to sin through Jesus, through the blood that he shed on the cross for us. Just in conclusion, to those who are willing to believe in Jesus through faith, through trust and conviction in him, then faith is the victory. Through faith, we're victorious through sin and the things of the world, and most importantly, through baptism, we're victorious over death. We have a promise of eternal life. We are promised a crown of life if we remain faithful until death. Through the gift of his blood, Jesus is our propitiation over the power of sin. With such wonderful gifts, we can now have the kind of relationship with God by which we can also overcome anything the world might throw at us, anything that Satan may throw at us, people in the world. But maybe you aren't a Christian, and maybe you don't have the faith and don't have that trust in Jesus that is our victory. Maybe you're lost in sin. You know, this lesson is very encouraging if you do have that kind of faith. It's one of those lessons that uplifts you. It tells you how you can get through all these sins and the devil and help you to remain faithful. We see that we're promised a crown of life. It's very encouraging. But if you aren't a Christian and you're kind of lost in the world, you haven't built your foundation on the rock, you're wayward, you're tossed at sea, you can see now that you have the opportunity to be sure to build your foundation on the rock. You have an opportunity to trust in Jesus, build that saving faith that I've been talking about this morning. You have an opportunity to repent and be baptized. You can have that faith that is the victory. If you have any spiritual need, please come forward as together we stand and as we sing.